reading from tonight from the New Testament is from Matthew chapter 26. It's about the Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" As you go into the city, he told them, you will see a certain man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus told them, and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? He replied, one of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus told him, you have said it. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and he gave it thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is our message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, as we continue this journey, this covenant journey, covenant people, as we look through the book of Numbers and how it points to your Son, Jesus, I pray you would help us all to have clear minds and open ears to hear your good news, your gospel message, your confirmation of the covenant. We pray all of this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll just get right into it. We'll dig right into Numbers tonight. In chapter 9, Yahweh issues a command. He brings in Moses and he says, I got something I want you guys to do. And he says this. He says, tell the Israelites to celebrate the Passover at the prescribed time. At twilight on the 14th day of the first month, be sure to follow all of my decrees and regulations concerning this celebration. And this is exactly 1 year after the first Passover. The first Passover, as we all know, it's in Exodus. We've heard the story about the blood on the door, and we've talked before about how, and we talked in Exodus and in Leviticus last year about all of the things and the practices and the regulations and things that God had prescribed. But this Passover, that first Passover, was a very important thing, but it was kind of strange. It was a new thing. And the people kind of looked at it like, okay, well, God did something pretty cool, and he marked it with this Passover feast, which, you know, we have a feast to celebrate important things, right? It makes sense. But then a year later, God came back to them and said, remember that feast from last year? We're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again and again and again. And so this was the first repeated Passover. This is really kind of like saying the first celebration of God's Passover. Because they had the feast while God was passing over that evening. But now they knew God's power. They had seen it at play that whole year. They had seen God split the waters of the Red Sea and see them safely across. And they had seen all of the miraculous things that he had done. And now they gathered in their tents with those that God had prescribed. And they did the things that God had prescribed, the regulations that he had defined that would make the Passover what it was. The Passover was this thing where they could eat a meal, like, but it wasn't like any other meal. But it wasn't too unlike any other meal either. They had bread, they had herbs. It was a dinner. It was a special dinner, and it marked something unique and different, but it was a dinner. It had a very plain Jane physical element to it. That's why the whole Passover begins with a child saying, "Why is tonight different than any other night?" Because it might seem like it's just another meal. But this meal, this Passover meal, it was something special, and God wanted them to mark it, because not just was there something physical about this meal, but there was also something spiritual in it, something that was bigger than just the meat of the lamb. It was bigger than just the unleavened bread on the table. It was bigger than just a cup of wine. It marked something beyond physical. It marked the covenant that God had made with his people, the promise that he had made with them on that Passover. And this is the covenant that it's spoken in Exodus chapter 6. God, Yahweh God, says this to the people: "I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the oppression in Egypt." And every one of the Israelites would know that when they celebrated this Passover feast, there was something more than just the bread and the wine and the herbs and the spicy cinnamon apple stuff and all of the various things on that table. That it marked something bigger than that. It marked a stamp of the continued covenant that God had with his people. It marked the Passover promise which God had made and continued to make each and every single year, saying that you will be my own people and I will be your God. And so they did this. They did this thing that God said. They practiced this Passover religiously, and they kept it going, and they kept it going for even until today. There are still people in the Jewish faith who celebrate that same Passover meal that started on that night. And this promise, the sealing of God's covenant, was something that they focused on at these Passover meals as they went on and on and on. And we'll see that eventually they missed something. They didn't see something that God had done that made the covenant even bigger than they could possibly imagine. And so we see that at the Passover meal, one of the big things that happens, and you see this kind of narrative language also in Leviticus, is that they took a lamb. It was a choice lamb. It was a young lamb without defect. And they would sacrifice the lamb, and they would eat of it. And that lamb, as we all know, also was used as the atoning, maybe not that particular lamb, but a lamb was used as the atoning sacrifice that we read in Leviticus to pay for the sins of the people. And it is not without good reason that in Revelation song and in other sources, we see that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, is referred to as the lamb that paid the price for the sins, not just of the people of Israel, but for the lamb which paid for the sins of the whole entire world. And so on that day, as we read in Matthew, when they're coming into the city of Jerusalem, Jesus tells his disciples, "Go before me. We are good Jewish people. We go to the synagogue and we do what God commands. So we are going to partake in the Passover." And so the disciples said, "Okay, we'll go have the Passover." We do this probably, they probably did it every year. The Bible doesn't say that they necessarily did it, but we know that Jesus, being a rabbi, would have definitely had this be part of his routine. And so each year he would have celebrated the Passover. And so they went around the table, and for the disciples, you know, it was just like any other Passover. Much the same way that to maybe some of the Jews, the Passover was like any other meal. But this night was something special. Jesus had a special purpose because this was his final Passover. Whenever he brought his disciples into the Passover meal, he had a purpose in mind that was bigger than just the regular celebration of the Passover and the remembrance of God's covenant. It wasn't just about remembering anymore what God had done on that night in Egypt, but now it was about the confirmation of God's covenant. If we open our Bibles up to Matthew 26 again, he says, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood that confirms the covenant between God and his people. The covenant which was made of old, the covenant which was made with Adam and Eve after they had sinned, that God would send someone into the world, a Savior, to redeem them from their sins. The same covenant promise that he made with Noah when he destroyed the whole world and promised not to destroy it again. The same covenant promise that he made with Abraham when he said, you will have many, many children, so many that it will be more than the stars in the sky, and through those children, the Redeemer will come. The same covenant that passed down from Abraham to his sons and to his grandsons and to his great-great-great-grandsons and all the way down the line. It went through Abraham's sons. That was how the covenant had been passed. But now, Jesus sits in a room in Jerusalem in about 35 AD and says something profound about himself. He says, this drink in this cup, this third cup of the Passover, the cup of redemption that you have been celebrating for all of these thousands of years, let me tell you something about that cup. That's not just a normal cup. That cup holds my very blood. That cup is my very blood, and it is poured out for the sins of the whole world, and it is the cup which confirms the covenant of old. Jesus says that through him, through his blood, through his sacrifice, that covenant is fulfilled, and not just for the sons and the daughters of Abraham, but for the entire world. And we see that no longer is this promise of Jesus just for the original people of God, the original Israelites, the original children of Abraham, but now it is for the whole world. And we become covenant people. When you look at that Numbers covenant people sign, that's not just talking about the Israelites wandering in the desert. Covenant people is who we are. That's our identity. Because the covenant which was made in the Old Testament doesn't just exist for the Israelites. But because of what Jesus did, and because of who he died for, each of us, that covenant is now ours as well. We see this through the power of the sacraments. Jesus' very body and blood are given to us, and it confirms the covenant not just for the people of Israel, but for all those who believe in him and partake of it. That's why we make such a big deal about the Lord's Supper. It's not just a symbolic remembrance of something that happened of old, the same way that the Passover was not just a symbolic remembrance of something that was done thousands of years ago. It was a confirmation of God's covenant promise to his people. And for us, this is the very forgiveness of sins. And it confirms Jesus' covenant even for us today, so that we are not outside of his people, that we become his covenant people as well. And so when you're going to partake of the sacrament later today, keep that in mind. That this ties you in, that grafts you in, as we'll see in a second, to the vine of Jesus. And it is a confirmation of the covenant which God made with Abraham and with Adam and with Moses. And it continues even today. In Romans chapter 11, Paul says this, "But some of these branches from Abraham's tree," that is to say, some of the people of Israel, "have been broken off. And you, Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. And so now you also receive the blessing that God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. For you are just a branch and not the root. You see, through what Jesus has done for us, he is grafting us into the vine, grafting us into the root which is nourishing the whole plant. And obviously, that root is Jesus. This is Paul speaking, and he's talking about Jesus here. And he's saying that the Jews took their identity, and they said that our identity is in Yahweh, our God, and the covenant which he has for us. But they missed the picture. They didn't see that God fulfilled the covenant which was promised in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They saw the root, and they didn't like what it looked like, so they rejected it. But praise be to God that he didn't reject us. But instead, he took the covenant that he had with Israel. He took the plant itself, and he made it an infinitely larger picture. Now we are part of that plant, even though we do not belong to the house of Jacob. Even though we are not ourselves a part of that original covenant with Abraham. God took the covenant and expanded it to include the whole world. And he grafts us in as well. And that changes everything for us. Because before that, we were lost in our sin. Before Jesus grafted us into the vine, into himself, into the root, we were withering and dying. But Jesus has grafted us in and made us covenant people. And because of that, we have the same promises of old. We are God's people, and he is our God. And friends, when you are one of God's people, it is good, because God is good, and God is powerful. But it can be a scary place when you are not one of God's people, because God is powerful, and he is just. And so we praise Jesus, and we look at his sacrifice and how he died on the cross for us and forgave us of our sins. We realize that we have not done anything to merit our salvation. We did not graft ourselves into that vine. Jesus grafted us in and brought us into the promise of the covenant. And now that same promise covers us up as well. And the thing that's interesting, friends, is that the Passover covenant, the covenant of old, it was a covenant of the law. If we go back to Exodus, it says, do the things I say to do, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Our promise does not come through things that we do. It does not come through the law. It comes through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we do not slave and tire away to do all the things that God says to do to merit our salvation. Instead, we call on the name of Jesus who has done it all for us. It's not a covenant of the law, but a covenant of love in the gospel. And then that same love, which transforms us, which grafts us into the vine, defines who we are, because if we are grafted into a vine of love, then we are branches of love. And it is our calling then not to do good works for us, but to do good works for others, to serve others, to strive to make others know the same love of Jesus, so that they can be also likewise grafted into that vine, and that they can likewise be Passover people. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you have made us people of the covenant, that you have grafted us into the vine of Jesus. I pray that you would continue to show us, Lord, how we can be of service to our neighbors so that they can likewise know you. And not just know you, Lord, but truly believe that you have transformed them as well and that you have saved them. Because it can be a scary place, Lord, when we are outside of the love of God. But when we are inside the love of God, when we are in Jesus, we know that that can truly change our identity. And it can change not just that, but it can change who we are in you. I pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. as we pray together the prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom of God.